Good afternoon. Like always, I'll start with a quick review of our performance from Sunday. Really, many of the elements that determined the outcome of the game were as we thought they were. Just unfortunately for us, they didn't unfold in the manner which we would have liked. Baltimore won the turnover battle. They got two turnovers in the game. Both turnovers led to field goals. Obviously, the one there early on that Mike Wallace fumbled gave them the ball in scoring territory. Thought the defense did a nice job of holding them to three, but largely the turnover battle produced 6 points for them. They got the splash play in the return game as opposed to us. That put another 7 points on the board. And their defense did a nice job of standing up in the red area late in the football game when we were able to put together a drive. Last week I talked about those guys being the number one team in football and red zone defense, and it unfolded in that manner in that instance. Their ability to stand up down there on third and two with the ball on the 4 yard line ultimately was kind of the difference in the game. A lot of great efforts and a lot of positive things to build upon, but we're not searching for those type things. At this juncture of the season, we're searching for wins. We didn't get it done, and we turn our focus to this week's challenge, of course, as we remain in the North and continue to focus on that and prepare for Cleveland. From an injury standpoint, I'll roll through some injuries and some likely discussions that come along with that. From the football game, Jericho Cotri is out with multiple rib fractures that he sustained late in the football game. Byron Leftwich is out with a rib fracture that he sustained some point late in the football game. Evander Hood will be questionable with his participation limited at the early portions of the week. He has a lumbar spine sprain, but we expect him to perk up by the end of the week. Isaac Redmond sustained a concussion in the football game. He's performing well on the battery of tests that come along with that. Again, he may be limited at the early portions of the week, but we got an arrow pointed toward his participation as long as his testing continues along the line that it is at this point. Some existing injuries, guys working their way back that are noteworthy. Antonio Brown with an ankle, had good work today, will be limited, of course, at the front part of this week, but he could be characterized as questionable. Marcus Gilbert, he's ready to work some an individual in a limited capacity. With his ankle, he could be characterized as questionable. The same thing with Troy. He's going to run tomorrow, of course, limited. We'll let his participation lead us in terms of where he might be this weekend. He could be characterized as questionable. And lastly, Ben, with his shoulder SC sprain, could be characterized as doubtful as we sit here today. He had an additional test done today, and all things are very positive in terms of where he is. So we're encouraged about his status. With the list of injuries, particularly at the quarterback and the wide receiver position, we've brought in four candidates that we just worked out today at the quarterback position. Brian Hoyer, veteran backup, spent some time in New England, and Mike Kafka, who spent some time in Philadelphia, who we saw in the preseason. And at the wide receiver position, Plaxico Burress worked out for us, along with Derek Williams, a veteran guy out of Penn State, who we had in training camp. We're looking at these guys, of course, with the potential to sign at least one at each position. But we've got a myriad of things going on in terms of the health of our own men, some workouts and so forth today. That process is continuing to run its course. But we are looking to add to. Obviously, the men that we acquire, will simply fortify our depths in terms of us being able to win this football game and prepare to win this football game. Those answers largely remain intact in terms of the guys that are on our football team as I sit here right now. But I will acknowledge that due to the injury circumstances at a number of positions, particularly quarterback and wide receiver, we feel like we need to fortify our depth at those positions. So that process is running its course. I'm sorry I don't have more information for you as I sit here, but that's what days like Tuesday are about. Now turning our attention toward the Cleveland Browns and preparing for them. Offensively, I think if you're having a discussion about these guys, it starts with their runner, Trent Richardson. I was hopeful that the legendary Jim Brown was correct in his initial assessment, but I'm disappointed. This guy is a talented runner. He's got great contact balance. He's strong-willed. He's highly productive. He's got a downhill run demeanor. He finishes off runs. He's got soft hands. He's their leading receiver as well, as their featured ball carrier. And he really is just living up to the expectations that come with being as high a draft pick as he is. He's good for them in all circumstances. First, second, third down, short yardage, goal line, red area. Again, I mentioned what he's doing in the passing game is probably as surprising as anything to me. Obviously, I don't spend a lot of time evaluating guys that go that high based on where we picked in the draft, but I did get a chance to look at him, and he is as good as advertised. At the wideout position, they've got young talent there. Little, of course, was a leading receiver a year ago. He's back. They've also got Gordon that they picked up in the supplemental draft. He's a talented young high-round guy. Those are their two lead guys, if you will. They supplement those guys with some quality other veteran guys. Massacoy's been there for a number of years. Joshua Cribbs, of course, can be characterized as a guy that's gadget capable. We know that what he's done to us in the past from a Wildcat standpoint. He's still got those capabilities. He's got a young understudy in Benjamin that's a rookie from the University of Miami who has a similar skill set in that he is reverse capable, gadget capable, and they use him in that way. Whedon has done a nice job at the quarterback position for a rookie. This guy's thrown every pass that they've thrown this season, shown great moxie, has spread the ball around to a number of receivers. He's not opposed to checking the ball down to his backs and tight ends. I like the tight end tandem of Watson and Cameron Jordan. Jordan Cameron. They do a nice job. I think Alex Smith does a nice job as a tight end slash move fullback, H-back, number 81. Whedon does a nice job of utilizing all those guys as well as the receivers in the passing game. I do a nice job of keeping you off balance with their screen game, with their quick game, their misdirection passing. I think he does a nice job of getting the ball out in the boot game. Obviously, the line is intact, largely led by Joe Thomas at the left tackle position. We're familiar with competing against those guys. Defensively, for me, I look more at their recent body of work than the complete body of work because I think the arrow's pointed up in one specific area for them, the interior of their front. Since the return of Phil Taylor and Ruben, I think that they've been extremely difficult to run on. As evidence of the game last weekend versus the Cowboys. Those guys are big, stout men who specialize in shutting down the interior of the defense. I think those two recent additions have been an awesome shot in the arm for them defensively. Largely defensively, I think the front is a big-time strength of theirs. Got a big-time respect for the young man from next door, Sheard. I think he plays not only in a productive manner, but he plays with the type of motor that all coaches desire. He's putting together a nice body of work in his second year. Also in a rotation or playing opposite of him is Frosty Rucker, a free agent. They acquired a veteran player from Cincinnati. We're familiar with him. He's familiar with us. He's played a lot of AFC North football, and they supplement him with Parker, a situational rush specialist, who's distinguished himself over the course of a long career in that manner, most recently in Philadelphia. The linebacker core in defense largely is led by Jackson. He's a solid veteran man in the middle. He's a three-down football player. He plays in all packages, in nickel and in dime. Good sideline-to-sideline football player. He's really good running down the middle in their version of the Tampa 2 stuff. In the secondary, Joe Hayden is a top-flight young corner for them who's played really good football. It always has. He's been limited due to a variety of reasons this year. I think he's only played in five games, but when he does play, it's Joe Hayden, the guy that we're used to going against. Sheldon Brown is a savvy veteran at the opposite corner. Buster Screen is a young corner that I really think has done a nice job of distinguishing himself. He's got great short area quicks. He's combative. I think he may even be their leading tackler. He plays inside and out. A lot of times his participation in terms of where he plays depends on whether or not Joe Hayden is playing or not. And T.J. Ward is consistently physical at the safety position. He's a guy that's been back there now for a number of years for them at the safety position. In special teams, we've got our hands full as always with these guys. Dawson is a model of consistency. I don't think he's missed a kick this year, and he's 5 for 5 from plus 50. So this guy is a consistent shot in an arm from them from a field position and scoring opportunity standpoint and has been for, wow, I don't know how many years. I interned there in the late 90s or 2000. He was a kicker there then. So I'm sure his record of longevity rivals just about anybody in football. And obviously, Joshua Quibbs is a dynamic return man. And given our recent performance in that area, we need to be ready to perform there. And you could classify Benjamin as his understudy in that area as well. Benjamin's a young rookie out of Miami that's done some gadget things for him offensively and is also has a nice history in college football as a return man. I'd be happy to address any questions.
Coach, what makes Plex intriguing still at this point when he's been out of the league this year and what he's done coming back?
He's in really good physical conditioning based on the workout that I just saw. He's got very good body control for a big man. He can drop his weight at break points, and obviously he's no stranger to football.
Coach, how soon do you need if they're going to sign somebody, how soon do you need them on the roster?
You know, like I just said earlier, you know, the guys that are going to lead us to victory this week are the guys that are here. We need the addition or the potential addition of those men to fortify depths at two positions particularly.
Mike, are the Leftwich and Cotchery potentially season-ending situations?
No, I don't believe that to be the case.
Mike, when you work guys out like this, certainly the emergency situation is the case now. But is there also, can you look at them and say that maybe a little to the future as well, that maybe there's someone who can help you down the road?
I think that, you know, all of those decisions are made with a good eye or bad eye approach. You know, what are your immediate needs and where could it potentially lead? I think that that's something that we bounce around in all the decisions that we make. So it's definitely a possibility.
Would a guy like Kafka, who played in a West Coast offense under Reed in Philly, be a better fit with Todd Haley's offense? Is that a factor?
You know, more than anything, with the two quarterbacks, we were looking at guys who have earned their livings as backups, and that's specific because they're capable of being able to put together an above-the-line type performance on a limited number of snaps. Obviously, Charlie Batch is going to get the bulk of the snaps this week, and rightfully so. Those guys have earned their living in this league as backups, being ready to participate on a limited number of snaps, and that was part of the decision that came to bringing those two men to the forefront today. Not only that, but they have reputations as football smart and intelligent people.
Mike, when you said you got encouraging news about some of the tests on Ben, were you talking about both the rib and the shoulder?
They're one and the same from my perspective.
Hey, Mike, after the game, you said that Byron had a gritty performance, and obviously it was. But at any point in the game, was he hurt bad enough that he should have left the game? Any point you thought about putting Charlie in at all?
You know, those were things that were up for discussion. Obviously, like I said, after the game, he did a nice job of communicating with us where he was. The doctors did a nice job of communicating with him. So it was no real serious discussions about pulling him from the game. Obviously, we didn't know that he had rib fractures. But that's just part of football. We appreciate his willingness to battle. He's always kind of been that guy, and he did a nice job in the football game.
Mike, any idea on when exactly he got hurt to that extent where the ribs were fractured?
I do not. If I had to guess, I'd say the last sack might be something that you could point to potentially.
I saw Charlie took a few warm-up throws during that one of those late timeouts. I mean, did Byron come up to you and say, hey, look, I'm good to go?
He did, but again, like I said, those conversations were ongoing. He actually fell on his shoulder awkwardly on the first series of the game when he ran that touchdown. So, you know, that might have been one of the reasons that Charlie was warming up. When you reference he was warming up again, I don't know when that transpired or how that related to the conversations that were ongoing with Byron.
What is a lot of the problem, the shoulder or the ribs with Leftwich?
The ribs.
Like a lot goes on during the game. Byron showed a lot of pain at certain times throughout the game. Are you able to see that while it's going on, or do you have to have someone come tell you, or is that something that while the game is going on you may just miss?
Sometimes you see, sometimes you don't. That's just part of it. Obviously, as a head coach, I've always got 11 on the grass, and my focus are the men that are on the grass. But I have no qualms with the level of communication, not only from all parties involved, but from Byron specifically in regards to his health on Sunday night.
Mike, has Jonathan Dwyer earned a start at running back?
He's doing a nice job. Those decisions are ongoing. We hadn't talked this week about, you know, who's going to get the bulk of the carries or who's going to run out of the tunnel per se. Obviously, we're going to need good, solid contributions from all the backs that we put helmets on.
seems like all three have gotten work, like you've been rotating backs. Do you prefer that, if all three are healthy, to giving one guy the majority of the work?
You know, my preference would be to have a healthy, solidified, featured runner, but, you know, I don't always get what I want in this business. Obviously, for a variety of reasons, all of those guys have been nicked in some form or fashion. We've dealt with it to the best of our abilities. They've done a nice job of being productive when given an opportunity. But the circumstances themselves has created what we've done with the running backs at this point. And, you know, we're not making excuses for it. That's just the reality of it. And, you know, we're not looking for relief either. We're going to continue to make the decisions based on the healthy people that give us the best opportunity to win.
Like does Gilbert step back in?
I'm sorry?
Does Gilbert step back in when he's healthy?
He's not healthy yet, so we'll deal with that when we get to it.
In terms of the run game, was there any thought to why you didn't go to it more? Have you know you have a backup in there who's throwing it 39 times as opposed to running it more?
I'm comfortable with the play selection. We make another play or two, we win the game. You don't ask that question. So I'm not worried about it. My focus is on winning.
Mike, with the receivers that you're with two receivers, if Antonio is healthy, I mean, you're looking at a guy that would come in to be maybe a fourth receiver or whatever. Do you need somebody to be flexible to be a special teams guy in that position? Is that
again, it's based on Antonio's available health. So, you know, we'll make that decision when it's appropriate. But obviously, we're looking for somebody that's capable of helping us in a multitude of ways.
Mike, how, if at all, have coverages changed when Antonio's not been in the last two games?
You know, I don't necessarily think that they have. Again, I haven't done a self-scout in regards to that. We've got capable guys. We believe that Emmanuel Sanders is a viable guy. We believe that Jericho Cotchery is a viable guy. We hadn't necessarily looked for changes, whether or not Antonio's in game or not in game, based on what our opponents do to this point.
Coach, does the offense change at all with Charlie in, and how much confidence do you have in him based on what he did most recently when he was a starter for you?
You know, the changes will be subtle, and they'll be made with an emphasis to gear toward, you know, maximizing his strengths and minimizing his weaknesses. We've got a great deal of confidence in Charlie. You know, one thing that I can say about this quarterback situation, as uncomfortable as it may be or may appear to be, is not something that we're foreign to, unfortunately. You know, we've been as far as 3 and 4 deep in terms of playing quarterbacks in recent years, definitely in 2009 and in 2010. Those guys do an awesome job of rallying and answering the bell. We expect them to. So we're excited about him preparing and leading us this week.
In the past, Mike, it seems like you've gone to guys with experience with this organization. Was there any call out to guys like Dennis Dixon or Paco, guys who had been here?
I'm just talking about the guys that we had here working out today, and I'm not talking about why we didn't bring others in. I don't think that's fair to them.
Mike, when you allow a special teams touchdown like you did last week, and now certainly a possibility with Cribs, I guess it's fair to say, do you have to guard against a knee-jerk reaction in making tweaks to your game, or is that a continual process?
I don't generally make decisions in a reactionary mode. You know, those are the type of process that we go through on a week-to-week basis to try to keep the dogs off of us, not only in coverage, but, you know, in all three phases of the game. But we acknowledge that we broke down in that area last week, and we acknowledge that Josh Cribs has made a living hurting people. So obviously it's going to be an element of preparation for us. And we'll kick those things around and discuss them and prepare for the game.
Mike, what did you think of Williams when you had him in camp? Is he still return capable, coverage capable?
He was a multi-talented guy that showed he was capable of being able to help in a number of areas. He still appears to be healthy and in good physical condition, which are all positives.
Coach, what's your assessment on the defense? I mean, they look pretty good. They've only given up one touchdown in the past two games, and they had an impressive showing in the last part of Sunday.
Again, they did a nice job, but we're not searching for feel goods. I would appreciate it, a splash play that produces a score or provides a short field for the offense that would have potentially produced a score, because that may have been the difference in the game. And that's why we play. We play to win.
Like in general, when Antonio Brown was healthy, if he could play on Sunday, would that affect your decision to sign a wide receiver?
Potentially, but as we sit here today, he is not deemed healthy, so we got to go through the processes that are professional and appropriate.
Mike, when guys play through injuries all the time, and when you ask a guy, does he want to stay in, don't they almost always say yes? And does that make it difficult for you guys to make a read as to how injured somebody may be?
If I didn't know him, that would make it difficult, but obviously I have personal relationships with these guys, so it's not necessarily how what the answers to the questions are, but how they answer the questions. And of course, you know, how they perform. Obviously, Byron did a nice job of communicating with us. I knew that he had a certain level of discomfort, but I didn't see anything in his performance coupled with those discussions to lead me to believe that he needed to be pulled. As a matter of fact, you know, shoot, at the end of the game, he threw a ball down the middle of the field to Heath that I thought was an accurate and appropriate throw, and the throw that he made to Cotri on the sideline where he got hurt on the second to maybe last play of the game was a throw with great velocity and accuracy. So, you know, I didn't see anything transpiring on the field coupled with the discussions that we had to lead me to believe not to believe what was being said.
Mike, I believe you said after the game that on the punt return that they double-viced your gunners. Is that something that happens game to game or almost punt to punt when guys are single-teaming your gun or double-teaming your gunners? And when it happens, how do you make it work?
It changes generally in game. You know, our standards are simple. If they're in one-on-ones, we expect the gunners to win. We don't want returns. We want fair catches. If they're in a two-on-one, they have to get down the field and be disruptive at the very least.
Is that hard to do, Coach?
Yes, but there's a lot of things in football, particularly professional football, that are difficult to do. That's why we employ capable men.
Anything else for Coach?
Mike, Cleveland's record isn't very good this year, but they seem to have played a lot of tough games. How have they been able to kind of stay in?
You know, again, I've really focused my efforts on their recent performances, and obviously over the last four or five games, they've been in some highly competitive games. They beat Cincinnati. They beat you know, they were in the Indy game. It was 12-14 in the fourth quarter of the Baltimore game. The game last week went into overtime. So such is life in the National Football League, man. They're a competitive bunch. They play for 60 minutes. We respect them. But our focus is on our preparation and ultimately our play.
Also, Ed Reed was given a one-game suspension for the helmet-to-helmet hit. Do you use that as a teaching lesson to your team? You know,
no.
What can happen?
All right, thank you, Coach.